there's no peace on earth. My. Seems like we're, every time you turn around, you're dealing with something different, something more devastating than what we've dealt with before as a nation and country. And no doubt there's no peace when you stop and think of what's taking place in Texas. And we know some people that live in that area as well. And just your heart goes out, but you understand that all people need is the Lord. There's going to be evil. There's going to be results of evil. And what we need is the peace of God. And so we do pray for all of those families that have lost their children, no doubt. And just ask for God's grace to be sufficient. And it will if they look to Him. And we need to look to God for His peace. Joshua chapter 23. Joshua chapter 23. We've been studying the life of Joshua, and what, there's great truths in the life of Joshua. There's so many biblical principles that we have been able to draw from what God has recorded in the scriptures concerning Joshua, and what a tremendous man. We looked at Joshua the man, and then we started in the book of Joshua and started reading the book of Joshua that God has preserved for us so that we can learn even more and more from this testimony of Joshua. And he was to follow Moses and lead the nation of Israel into the promised land, and he's done that. We've studied all that, and the idea of now that he's old, God gave him more of a task that had to do with wisdom instead of physical strength. Isn't it a blessing when you start getting older that we can still serve God, maybe not in the same capacity as we once served him, but God, as long as we're living, God has a purpose for our lives, and we want to make sure that we are accomplishing all that God would have us to accomplish. And so we find that Joshua mentioned he was old, and yet God was using him to divide up the land, and the wisdom that he had and the respect that he had of the tribes of Israel went a long way, and how he was able to divide and keep the peace and the unity of the nation of Israel. And then he sent home the 2.5 tribes, and there was a lot of powerful truths and what counsel he gave to them as their lives would be changing. I'm actually going to be preaching on that tomorrow. I preached the graduation over at Suburban, and we'll have a grandson that's graduating, and so I believe that's what I'm going to be presenting to them tomorrow and the graduation, and the powerful truths, different change of life, and you need to look to God for His help and His counsel in our change of life. And then we find that he goes back and he knows he's about on, you know, the deathbed. He's about ready to pass out of this world. And he's concerned for Israel after he's gone. I think every parent would be concerned once you're gone and your influence, physical influence, is no longer there. Will your children continue to serve as you raised them to serve and live as you've raised them to live? And you can't do much about that. You've instilled within them that they have to make their own decisions on their lives and how, what they're going to do with their lives. And so Joshua here is now at that point. He knows he's getting ready to pass off the scene. And so he gave them counsel. And the counsel he gave them, and we studied this last week, is how to prevent apostasy. And that's powerful counsel that he gave to them in chapter 23, verses 1 down to verse 11, is how to prevent apostasy. And then what we'll be studying tonight is the next, 11 through 16, the end of chapter 23, and he presents to them the certainty of judgment. And I believe that's one of the ways to be able to prevent apostasy and stop a lot of the evil going on in the world, is to let people know that there is a God and there is a judgment after life. Yeah. Maybe they wouldn't be doing some of the things they're doing if their minds were trained to believe in God and understand that there is a place of hell. And there's degrees of punishment even in a place of hell for people who do such evil to children. Yeah. But tonight, Let's stand and read this, and we'll be studying this, the certainty of God's judgment if you fall into apostasy. That's what Joshua is presenting to him at the chapter 23, verses 11 to 16. Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves, that you love the Lord your God. Else, if you do in any wise go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they to you, know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations before you. But they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. And you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. Therefore, it shall come to pass that as all good things are come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, so shall the Lord bring unto you all evil things, until he hath destroyed you from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. When you have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods, and bowed yourselves to them, then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and ye shall perish quickly from off the good land which he hath given unto you. Wow. That's a powerful passage of scripture right there. One of the last messages that Joshua would preach to the children of Israel. Be aware of the certainty of God's judgment. Let's pray. Father, we bow before you now. We love you. Thank you, Lord, for just what we've already experienced as being in church tonight. Thank you for your presence in this place, for the precious truths that you have preserved for us to read and study and learn and apply. And I pray, God, once again, that you would just bless the preaching and the teaching of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Be aware of, take good heed thereto, the certainty of God's judgment. We want to focus on the love of God and the blessing, and that is true. Praise the Lord for that. But we also serve a just God, and justice demands judgment. Judgment would be based upon their decisions. God is not that God with a bat looking for anybody and everybody he can just hit over the head. What a sad thought. If that's what anybody thinks God, who God is. The love of God speaks more highly about who God is. The justice of God is a necessity of God. Judgment would be and is based upon man's decisions. The love of God and the love for God will lead us to obedience. You want your children to obey you out of a love Now, you might have to show them that you mean business and that you will judge them and you will determine the judgment that they will receive if they fail to do what you tell them to do. And so there should be a little bit of a reverence, a fear of what they're going to get if they do not do what you want them to do. Dad had his belt that he used on us. He was police, and he had a belt that was about this wide, had spikes coming out of it, and he had that where we could all view that. And if you failed to do what Dad told you to do, then you were guaranteed to have that belt come down upon your behind. He determined how often and how hard. I know that you learn that it's coming, and so the wise children, I learned myself to stay as close to him during punishment as I could, because the closer I was, the less leverage he had. If you tried to run, listen to me, you're out there, that's going to hurt a whole lot more than if you just stay as close to that punishment as possible. And you learn that. But it's coming. Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves that you love the Lord your God, because if you love the Lord your God, you're going to be more apt to be obedient to God's commands. Jesus would help us to understand that truth as well. Let me just read to you, because biblical principles, Old Testament, are revealed in New Testament scripture. John chapter 14 and verse 15, the Bible says this, Jesus says this, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, show it by keeping my commandments. In verse 23, he said this, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him and will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Wow. So that biblical principle that Joshua is getting across to the nation of Israel is to make sure that you keep yourself in the love of God, and your love of God will keep you in obedience to what he has for you to do. Wow. Verse 12 reveals to us, else if ye do anywise go back, rebellion will follow a change of heart, which we love God from our hearts. Rebellion comes when you start loving someone or something more than God. And you start loving someone or something more than God, then you look to please that than God. No one's ever rebelled against God who truly loved God, had a love for God at the time. I remember when I did wrong as a teenager, I had to block out my love for my parents, because I knew that they raised me different than what I was getting ready to do or how I was getting ready to act. I had to block it out. I had to block out my love for God. Because if I remembered my love for God, and if I remembered and I thought upon my love for my parents and my honor and my reverence for them, I wouldn't do what I was going to do. So rebellion will follow a change of heart as you block out that love. And so he says, else if you do in any wise go back, and he mentions those things. We're going to come back to this. Verse 13, then he says, know for a certainty this judgment would come. God's judgments are predetermined. God's judgments are predetermined by the decisions that you make, by decisions that I make. The wages of sin is death, predetermined. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, predetermined. But you will determine whether or not you live a life of sin or if you turn to Christ and ask forgiveness for sins. Those that make a decision to live a life of sin and reject Jesus Christ, it's predetermined you're going to spend eternity in a devil's hell. Predetermined. If you want the blessings of God, then you have to do what God tells you to do to receive the blessings that He promises. If you do this, then I will do that. Predetermined. Jeremiah continued to preach this truth to the nation of Israel before they would go into bondage, taken out of their land, somewhat like Joshua's warning them about. Matter of fact, Jeremiah chapter 29, look over there with me. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 10 to 14. What Joshua warned them of is exactly what the prophets would come and reveal to them as well, because it's the word of God. Joshua, Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 10, the Bible says, "For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you, performing my good word toward you and causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you." Did you see what he's saying there? He said, "I know my thoughts. I love you. I want you to." But he said this, "Ye shall seek me. When you seek me and find me, then shall ye search for me with all your heart, and I will." When you make the decision to search for me, I will be available. When you make the decision to serve me, then I will do this. I will bless you. I will give you this. I will work in your life. But if you make a decision not to seek after me, you're not going to receive the blessings that I know I want to give to you, but I can't give to you because it's already predetermined. It's based upon your decisions. Wow. "When ye shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations, from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again unto the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive." When you do this, I've already been predetermined. I want to bless you. I don't want to have to judge you. I don't want to have to chasten you. I want to bless you, but if you do this, then chastisement is the next step. If you would only do this, then the blessings would follow. Isn't that something? Isn't that powerful? It's always been God. How can God know all things and not have it predetermined? So it's not based on God changing His mind. It's based upon us changing our mind, and then God will not bring the evil or the judgment, and He will bring the blessing. But that's been predetermined. Judgment would be based upon their decisions. Still is true today. God's judgments are just and certain. Chapter 23, verse 14 through 16 reveals that. In verse 14, we find Joshua's testimony to help them to understand that God is faithful to His word, whether it be blessing or whether it be judgment. Joshua says this, "And behold, this day I am going the way of the earth, and ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls, not one thing that hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you, all are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof." you need to look at all the blessings that have come upon you because of your obedience and realize that God is faithful to his promises. God is faithful to his words. He is faithful to bless you if you do this. And at the very same time, he's going to be faithful to judge you if you fail to do that. Just as much as you're assured that God will bless and he will follow through with his promises of blessings, you need to be assured that he's going to follow through with his promise of judgments. Don't sin and take a chance that God's going to let it slide. It's already been determined, predetermined. He's not going to let it slide. You're not exempt. Well, if I do more good than I do bad, then God will weigh out my good from my bad, and he will determine then that if I've done more good, then he will not judge my bad. That is not the Bible. That is the philosophies of man that is dead wrong. Because God's already predetermined. He's faithful to follow through with his promises of blessings. And he's faithful to promise to follow through with his promises of judgment. Yeah. He will judge apostasy. When ye, verse 16, when ye have transgressed the covenants of the Lord your God, if you do this, when you do this, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods and bowed yourselves to them, then shall, mark it down, then shall, and we have history to prove that he did just this, the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and ye shall perish quickly from off the good land which he hath given unto you. God keeps his word. Unlike some parents. Every time you tell your child, I'm going to, and you never do, you fail to keep your promise. Next time you do that, and you don't, after the first and second and third and fourth, next time, what kind of message are you sending your children? I might be able to get by with it. He's not faithful to his promises of judgment. Wow. Can I tell you that children will always remind you of your promises of good things? I've never had one experience of them reminding me of my judgments, my promise of judgments. Never had Crystal come to me or Sheree even come to me. If anyone would do it, Sheree would come to me and do this. But I've never even had Sheree come to me and say, Dad, you promised if I did it again that you're going to whip me. Dad, here I am, whip me. Spank me. I want you to live up to your promises. I don't want to have to doubt your promises. So here I am. You got to spank me. Have you ever had that? I guarantee if Sheree didn't do it, your children haven't done it either, no. Crystal will always be there reminding me of the promises. You promise? Oh, I know I did. Okay, I've got to be good to my word. Never have I ever been asked to follow through the promise of judgment. I don't think no child of God's has. Wouldn't help. Because he's faithful to his promises of blessings and judgment. What would judgment look like? It's described to them, but it can be applied into our lives. Verse 13, this is judgment. Know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you. No more drive out. Loss of God's power to gain victories. over the world, over the enemy. Loss of God's power to gain victories. I will lose what God gives. 1 Timothy chapter 1. That's what Joshua was telling them. You're going to lose what God has given to you. 2 Timothy. Chapter 1. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear. He hasn't, but this is what he has given us. But of power. He's promised to give that to you if you love him, serve him. His judgment would take that away. Power. Spiritual strength. Samson had the spiritual strength that God had given to him as long as he did what God told him to do. When he failed to do what God told him to do, God took away that spiritual strength. And the Bible said he wist not. And he went out as oft the other times, could no longer defeat the Philistines. And they defeated him, plucked out his eyes, made him a laughing stock of the world. Backslidden Christian. Satan wants to use that because he knows that God is going to withdraw his power and strength from your life. And without his power and strength for your life, you cannot defeat the devil. But power and love, I mean, just the feeling of love. There's no love in the devil. There's no love in evil. There's no feeling of love. It's only lust. But when you have God, you have love. You have the feeling of love. You have the enjoyment of genuine, agape, sacrificial love. I want to be without that. A sound mind. No pain of mind. Can you put a price tag on that? So many people would have given all their fortunes just for a sound mind. They couldn't obtain a sound mind and they ended up committing suicide because they had no peace of mind. That's what it looks like. Loss of God's power to gain victories. They shall go back with me, because he goes on and he says in verse 13, even those that remain among you and shall make, no, in verse 13, know for certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you. Because they haven't driven them out, they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off this good land. They shall be all these things, which comes when you lose the protection from evil. You lose God's power to gain victories, and when you lose God's power to gain victories, you lose protection from the devil. And these are just a few things that Satan would love to work against the child of God's, the backslidden child of God's. Ephesians in chapter 6, we find this to be true. Let me just read that to you. Ephesians in chapter 6 and verse 11, It says this, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Without the armor of God, you can't stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high place. And if you don't have the armor of God and the power of God, then you cannot overcome these wicked devices of the devil. Yeah. Verse 15. Something else they're going to lose. Therefore, it shall come to pass that as all good things are coming to you, which the Lord God promised you, so shall. This is what you have when you're serving God. This is what you have when you love God and you obey God. But if you go back and you rebel, so shall the Lord bring upon you all evil things until he hath destroyed you from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. The loss of what God's given you as far as possessions. What God has blessed you with. A marriage. You're in danger of losing your marriage when you turn away from God and you turn over to the lust of the flesh and give in to adultery. Give in to something else, some kind of device that would control you, whether it be pornography, drugs, alcohol. Don't expect the blessings of God to keep your marriage together when you have gone off on your own and you've committed all these other sins. Listen to me, God judges those sins, and the judgment of that sin might be a loss of family. Loss of church. You got all these other things going on. You don't even feel comfortable coming to church, and so you lose sight of your need for church, and you just run from the conviction of God, and you lose your church, your church family. Possibly you lose your health. Loss of possessions. God's blessed you with. Verse 16. When you have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, you've done this, the judgment's coming, which he commanded you, have gone, served other gods, and bowed yourselves unto them, then shall the, look right here, the anger of the Lord be kindled against you. You want to live with the anger of God? Against you. It's judgment. It will happen. The anger of God means I lose the peace of God. The fellowship of God is what brings to us the peace of God. There is the peace with God, that's salvation. You can't lose that. You can't lose salvation, but what goes along with salvation is the peace of God, the fellowship of God. You can lose that. Matter of fact, Philippians, and I'm getting ready to close here. Don't have much more time. Philippians in chapter 4, look there with me. Again, this biblical principle revealed in New Testament scriptures. That's good to understand that. Philippians in chapter 4, verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, you don't know how it affects you until you don't have it anymore. You don't know the desire and the for it. Until it's gone. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts, even when you have to go through trials and troubles and heartbreak, God can give you the grace to even have peace as you're going through the most difficult storms of life. That's the blessings of God. To lose that is the judgment of God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through your relationship with Christ Jesus, your fellowship with Christ Jesus, your walk with Him. You don't want to lose that. And yet we will lose that. We fall under the judgment of God. You will. How could this happen? How could this happen to Israel? How could this happen to us, 21st century, born-again believers? Go back with me, and we'll close with this. How could this happen? Joshua is going to help them to see how this could happen. Else, if you do in any wise, go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations. Turn back to the world. Make marriages with them and go in unto them and they unto you. Verse 16. When you have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which He commanded you, and have gone and served other gods, and bowed yourselves to them, then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you. It begins with our acceptance of evil. And right now, in the United States of America, the pressure is on for biblical Christians to accept non-biblical ways of life. No, I'm not going to accept that. I'm not going to condone that. I'm not going to stop preaching against it. Because I fear the judgment of God more than I fear the judgment of man. And this world needs the light of true Christianity more than ever before. And it will continue to get worse. We know that the Bible says that. I'm just understanding. I'm preparing myself for it. But I will stand on the truths of this Bible. I've not changed. This church has not changed, but this world sure has. Yeah. They try to look at us as a cult or us as being off. No, we've not changed. The Bible's not changed. What the world used to believe is what we still believe, for the most part. It begins with our acceptance of evil. Psalms 97 says this, verse 10. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. If you hate evil, you will never accept it into your life. We need to define evil. And we need to learn to hate evil. And go back to Joshua's counsel, the very first verse that we looked at tonight. Take good heed. Be warned. Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves, that ye love the Lord your God. I said this maybe last week. But do you love God? Complete this statement. I know I love God because. You take it from there. How do you know you love God? I know I love God because. I trust you have the right reasons. You can leave here tonight knowing that you truly love the Lord your God. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed tonight. Powerful message from the life of Joshua as he's coming to the end of his life. He wanted them to know. He had a fear that after he was gone, that they would fall into apostasy, and that fear became reality. We know that now. If they would have taken heed to his counsel, they would not have fallen into apostasy. If we would take heed to the very same counsel, we will not fall into apostasy, and we will stay away from the judgments of God, and we will be able to receive the blessings that we so desperately need, that God wants to bestow upon us. Father, we bow before you now. We love you. Thank you for the truth of this passage of Scripture, the life of Joshua, and I pray, God, you'd help us to apply it to our own lives. If there's decisions that need to be made tonight, I pray that they would be willing and ready right now to make that decision. Work in our midst, in Jesus' name, amen and amen.